Today, we will hear from you. If you would like to speak, please fill out a colored comment or form at the registration table. We encourage all speakers to leave a copy of their remarks with the Highlands Council staff. Please keep your comments brief so that we have an opportunity to hear from everyone. This is a listening session. If you have questions, please see the Highlands Council staff at the registration desk. Members of the public may also submit written comments. Just go to www.highlands.state.nj.us and click on comment on draft plan. Before we take the first comment, some brief background on the development of the draft plan is in order. The New Jersey legislature enacted the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act in order to protect nearly 860,000 acres, which supply drinking water for more than 65% of New Jersey residents. The Highlands Act created the Highlands Council as a regional planning entity charged with protecting the water resources and natural beauty of the New Jersey Highlands while allowing for planned, sustainable development and redevelopment. It required the council to create a master plan for the entire Highlands region. The draft regional master plan, released November 30th of 2006, is a comprehensive, science-based plan designed to safeguard New Jersey's most significant source of drinking water. Using the latest science and data, the draft plan proposes policies and strategies designed to best protect Highlands' resources while also promoting a sustainable economy and sustainable agricultural practices. The draft plan built upon land use standards and a land use capability map, which is based on an analysis of natural resources, existing development, infrastructure, and agricultural activities. The map establishes three zones that overlay municipal zoning. First, the protection zone is green. It contains the most important natural resource lands that are critical to maintaining water quality, quantity, and other significant ecological processes. Its purpose is to protect natural resources, prohibit their disturbance or expansion of infrastructure. Second, the conservation zone is brown. It captures regionally significant agricultural lands. The purpose is to promote agriculture within the framework of the Highlands environment. Generally, development potential is limited in size and intensity due to infrastructure constraints and natural resource protection goals, although opportunities exist for low-impact cluster development. Third, the planned community zone is purple and was established for the purpose of working with municipalities and counties to determine appropriateness of further development given the presence of water and sewer and the desire of the town to grow. These areas are less environmentally constrained and with proper planning may support the development in the manner and intensity desired by the municipality. Emphasis will be on increasing land use efficiency, encouraging the use of previously developed lands through techniques such as revitalization, adaptive reuse, infill, and property assemblage. Things about the draft plan to note. The draft plan is designed to protect against water shortages, dry wells, and costly water treatment systems. The draft plan does not mandate growth and will serve to contain sprawl. It promotes sustainable communities and agricultural viability. It advances the establishment of a transfer of development rights, TDR program, and calls for increased land preservation funding for the region. It is designed to benefit municipalities and all levels of government and can serve to maximize the benefits of state and federal planning and financial investments in land and infrastructure. I am pleased to welcome several elected officials here today. My colleague, if you will, Passaic County Freeholder Tara Duffy. We have here Mayor Joan Atlas from Winkwood. Councilman from West Milford, Joseph Samolinski. From Winkwood, Councilwoman Lee DeShecca. We have Passaic County, our new planning director, Dr. Michael LaPlace. And Borough of Wantagh Administrator, Tom Carroll. Okay. And with us right now is
Tracy Perluccio, Highlands Council Member.
With that, I would like to open the comment portion of the public hearing. Given the number of people, we are asking people to combine comments to 3 minutes. The council reserves the right to expedite the process if necessary so as not to deny anyone of the opportunity to speak. When I call you, please come forward to the microphone to our right and state your name and any official affiliation clearly for the record. The order will be elected officials, and second, we would like to hear from those individuals who have not spoken at any of the prior hearings. Setting our ground rules of note, the council is not taking comments on the Highlands Act or New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection regulations. This forum is also not for the purpose of addressing specific property questions. If you came today with a hope of raising a question about your property, please see a staff member at the back of the room. Also, please be specific. For example, if your concern is water resource protection, say what the plan should say and why. Again, we're seeking your input to improve it. So let's begin. First, we'll call Passaic County Freehold Attorney.
Good afternoon, everyone. Council, I appreciate the opportunity to testify here. I just have some comments, and I'll just read them, and I'll be brief. Let me begin by saying that I am in favor of the Highlands Act, and I support all the environmental goals of this act. What I object to is the act's inability to properly compensate property owners for the lost value of their land. I believe this is eminent domain at its worst. Here is how eminent domain on a grand scale. The state has come through and declared land cannot be disturbed, it is unusable. Therefore, it is no longer has any value. If for some reason a property owner is lucky enough to have someone interested in his or her property, the state has first right of refusal. If the state refuses, it still must approve the sale anyway. Put yourself in the property owner's position. If you had a contract for your property, do you think it should require state approval? It is a gross abuse of power by the state to place the burden of the Highlands Act on the property owners. They are putting environmentalists against property owners. Let's look at who are the property owners. They want to protect the quality of our water as well. Generally, they are people who have owned their property for many years, even generations. They have been paying taxes on the property for decades. They are not the major developers or speculators who recently bought the land and want to flip it over for a high profit. By failing to properly compensate them for the value of their land, the Highlands Council is asking the landowners to finance the cost of implementing the act rather than take the responsibility of finding the funds themselves. The Council needs to do some more work. They must find a fair solution rather than just dumping the whole burden of the cost of the Highlands Act on the property owners. There are two things that need to happen to make this act a fair one. First, property must be valued at the pre-Highlands Act value. To value it after the state has declared it unusable is truly eminent domain. Second, the Highlands Council must find the funds to implement the act. They must reimburse the property owners. In 2004, $110 million was allocated by the federal government to buy and protect environmentally critical areas. The Highlands of New Jersey is specifically included in that funding. The council should be pounding on the doors of our senators, members of Congress, and the Secretary of the Interior to have those funds released. In the year's state budget, there's a $3 billion in debt payments. That's 8% of our budget, going just to repay the debt. The legislator needs to lower the debt and buy out the homeowners. Trenton must be held accountable. The legislation needs to find a solution and not take the easy road out of eminent domain. One lame solution is included in the act is development transfer development rights, TRD. It allows landowners to receive compensation for the transferable development potential that they lost. The catch is that they need to find somewhere else in the state that will increase development to accommodate the loss. Imagine trying to find a community that will welcome that increased development. Besides the program being created on such a weak premise, it requires the establishment of the TRD bank. It would be state-owned, creating a costly bureaucracy. The state should buy the rights without having to find them elsewhere. And I thank you for your time.
Dennis Kerwan.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Dennis Kerwin. I'm the city planner for the city of Clifton, and I am here to talk about the TDR program and how it relates to the city of Clifton at this point in time. The city of Clifton is interested in partnering with the Highlands Council to become a receiving area for the TDR program, and right now we are asking the Highlands Council to facilitate a much quicker grants program to facilitate the planning monies that have been promised to conduct the studies necessary. Part of my review for the city of Clifton has also included, obviously, a review of the master plan. And some of the suggestions that I think we as planners should look at is the identification of these purple planned areas and identification of the preservation areas. As a municipality that's interested in the receiving end of the spectrum, I think the identification of the preservation areas will lend itself to an extreme amount of TDRs that may be available and may not be able to be absorbed into the planned areas or even within the county of the Highlands or even outside the Highlands counties. I think there's an enormous amount of TDRs there that may or may not be able to be acquired or, you know, potentially paid for. My other concern is that the purple planned areas have been identified into areas that are not able to handle any more capacity. They are not able to handle any more growth. In some instances, we have purple areas identified in steep slopes and wetlands areas, which are totally inappropriate for development. And what my suggestion to the council is here and to the staff of the Highlands Group is to establish the criteria which you've already established, but now turn it over to the municipalities to take the criteria that you've established and use it on a town-by-town basis and have the municipality come back to you and saying, this is what we used using your criteria, and now these are the areas that we identified as purple areas, as green areas, because I can tell you that the municipality has a lot greater knowledge of what's on the ground versus the Highlands staff, because they don't have a chance to get out on the ground and identify some of these areas. You know, some of the purple areas that have been out there identified are extreme examples of bad planning, and to perpetuate that, I think, kind of goes against the grain of good planning that the Highlands Act is based upon. So I ask now that the Highlands Council turn this over to the municipalities and, using the criteria that you've established, present a master plan on their own and present it back to the council at some future date. Thank you.
Thank
Good afternoon. I think it's still afternoon. I'm Carl Richko, former mayor of West Milford. If there is anyone out there that doesn't believe that we need the Highlands Water Protection Act, just look at these headlines from last Friday's Record. I'm going to quote from it. It says, if you fish or swim, beware. The study shows New Jersey waterways fail pollution standards. Now, further quote, it says, 70% of the state's waters, including crucial sources of drinking water such as Oradell and Wanacue reservoirs, fail to meet federal pollution standards. Pollution pours into the state's waters from sewer plants, storm drains, and farms. In some cases, the water is so polluted it could harm humans who fish or swim in it. It's no doubt that New Jersey's waters are in trouble because of overdevelopment in watershed areas. I'm glad that the Highlands Council scheduled this meeting in Passaic County, and I thank you for that. About 5 million New Jersey residents get their water from the Highlands region. Approximately two-thirds of that comes from the northern part of Passaic County, from the towns of West Milford, Ringwood, Wanacue, and Bloomingdale. The Quantic River and Wanacue River watersheds encompass these towns. I was disturbed to see planned growth areas, better known as the purple areas, around our lakes and rivers. An example is a purple area on the Pequannock River between two of Newark's reservoirs. I can see developers proposing further development on a C1 category river or even misinformed town councils proposing it, but I cannot comprehend how the Highlands Council, given the task of protecting our water supply, is proposing increased development in a fragile watershed environment. In West Milford, two hydrology studies concluded that West Milford does not have sufficient underground water supplies to sustain further development. I'm sure this is also true of the other northern Passaic County towns that rely on the same aquifer. We have been fighting developers and questionable politicians to stop unwise development. I sure hope that the Highlands Council will support our quest to protect our water supply and crucial watershed lands. We have been told that the Highlands Council will, quote, revisit the purple areas around the Highlands waterways. I urge you not to modify these purple areas, but to do the right thing by changing the color purple to the color green. It was not environmentally wise to develop around lakes many years ago, and we know now how damaging these developments are. The Highlands Council should not perpetuate this mistake by promoting future development. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Charles Coronado from Wyckoff, New Jersey, and I'm a member of the Board of Directors of the Pequannock River Coalition. I support the existence and implementation of the Highlands Act, but I'm concerned that the current draft of the Regional Master Plan is badly straying from the original intent of the legislation. As I've read the plan, the intent of the Act is to protect our water supply in a manner that is clear and would prohibit activities that degrade valuable water resources. In effect, the Regional Master Plan should be the last word on which land parcels and waterways not only should be protected, but will be protected. Yet when I look at the draft plan and see where many of the planned community zones are currently located, I don't see that level of protection. Currently, there are planned community zones located in areas with steep slopes, with wetlands, and astonishingly, planned community zones are even sometimes located in the buffer zones of C1 waterways. You heard Carl just speak about that. Now, I understand the job of the council is a difficult one, and I'm sure it's not always easy to do proper triage and decide with absolute certainty which lands are the most valuable in our water resource. But in the case of wetlands and C1 waters, the case is clear. C1 is the highest designation possible for a waterway in New Jersey. It isn't just potentially a valuable resource, but a proven valuable resource. It is unconscionable that a planned community zone encroaches on any C1 buffer, and right now, that is exactly what is taking place in the current draft. Now, I know it will be said that the Highlands Act will not affect the current protection levels afforded to wetlands and C1 waters, that the wetlands and C1s are already protected. Well, what's the point of that? If it's supposed to be off-limits, then it should be off-limits, period. The regional master plan should be absolutely consistent with this. Instead, if left in the current draft form, then these sensitive areas, supposedly protected by existing rules, will in effect have a bullseye on them, and they will be the target of attempts to develop in inappropriate areas. This confusion cannot be allowed to be remaining in the final draft. C1s, steep slopes, and wetlands deserve absolute protection. Please remove the planned community zones from these places. Thank you.
I apologize for that.
I reside in Ringwood. I'm Michael Curran. My address is 201 Skyline Lake Drive.
They can't hear you unless you're not.
Okay. My name is Michael Curran. I reside in Ringwood. My address is 201 Skyline Lake Drive. I don't know how appropriate my questions or concerns are. I'm the proud owner, I think, of a 46-acre tract of land in Wanacue, New Jersey. I've owned it since 1979. I had hoped to keep it until I was ready to retire and use that as to supplement my retirement income. Unfortunately, in 2004, the Highlands comes along, and it just literally took me out at the knees on, you know, the long-term development potential. In the interim of time, I did have, and I do have in my possession, a contract that is unexecuted, but it's to the tune of $1 million for that 46-acre parcel. Obviously, it's not going to have that type of value right now, but I did go through the entire process when the Highlands passed. I offered it to the State Department of Environmental Protection. They sent appraisers onto that property. The appraisers came back with a report and an appraisal, and I find to my dismay now, and maybe the council would be able to help me, I have the same value for pre-Highlands as I do for post-Highlands, and that just assaults my intelligence. I pressed inquiry with the lady that was handling me with the Department of Environmental Protection, and she advised me that the appraisal indicated that the property has severe steep slopes. She says that the appraisers claimed that property has 100% grading, 45 degrees or 100%. In other words, 1 foot in, 1 foot up, 1 foot in. And that's not the case. It's certainly, in my estimation, not the case. So, not being an engineer, what I did was establish a fall line. Is to go perpendicular to the steepest contours of slope and divide it by the linear distance. And I came out with 24% on the slope. Proceeded to draw that all up, send it back into DEP. They said, oh, what engineering school did you go to? I didn't go to engineering school, but I know, I guess, how to push a pencil around and come up with that. Long and short of it is, I went at my own expense and hired a licensed professional engineer. He agreed with my calculations. He not only did that, he provided me with a profile for a haul road or a driveway, if you will, to get across from my access point up to the high point, which would be the most developable and most valuable on that tract. And he did cuts, profiles, a plan, and the grades on that with one switchback was was between 3% and 12%. And by the way, I understand Mr. Carroll is here. He was a very big help in moving things along. But unfortunately, with the Department of Environmental Protection, they made me an offer of $250,000, $250,000. I said that's a little bit short. Went into the whole thing about previous contracts and everything else. Went and provided them with the copy of the engineer's report, which the steep slopes that their appraisers had come up with was, you know, completely inaccurate. And they refused to, the lady that I was dealing with refused to do it, refused to move me on to the appeal process. So I'd appreciate any help that the Highlands Council could do. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that wouldn't be best to maybe talk with somebody from our staff or your regular?
Oh, who?
Well, you could talk with Tom right here, at least give him your name.
With
maybe
Tom?
Someone from our staff would be able to help you out. Maybe you get an exemption from DEP.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Hi. My name's Dale Meadows. I live in West Milford. I live by Upper Monklin Lake. And I want to say that I do definitely support the Highlands Plan. I do think that it should be stronger. Specifically, I live in one of the areas that's protected. And this area, there's much of it is already overdeveloped. It has a very high concentration of people already. We rely on well water, and we also rely on septics. Now, they haven't put in sewers, so any additional development is going to be at the expense of polluting the local groundwaters. Much of the groundwater is already, people, you know, constantly talk about their wells not having enough water. So this is a definite concern. And I guess another point that I'd like to make, and then I'll sum up, is that I've heard many people who talk about the effect of the Highlands Act on their property. Now, I have a property which is basically subdividable into three lots. I bought it under that assumption that it was not subdividable because I lived in a restricted area. Now, the taxes that people pay should be lower based upon that. The property taxes should be lower. And when people do subdivide and pull in millions of dollars, by fairness, they should have to pay a back tax based on that value of the property to the rest of the surrounding people who have been basically footing their bill for the last 10 or 15 years. This is fairness in practice and in trade, in my opinion. Now, if somebody like myself doesn't mind their property not being developed or subdivided, then I think that we should also be locked into lower real estate taxes. That's my opinion. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Hasbrook. I'm a consulting forester. I have some issues with the forestry aspect of the plan. I'm on the list of approved foresters with the New Jersey Forest Service, and I'm a member of the Society of American Foresters and the New Jersey Forestry Association. In 2005, the Forestry Association developed a position statement and recommended that a Sustainable Forestry Technical Advisory Committee prepare a plan. And they did. And my question is, whatever happened to it? The plan basically described the best way to generate more water and better water was through active forest management. That's the best way to develop a vigorous and healthy forest. There is a ecosystem management technical report, which kind of has some disturbing clauses in it. One of them is, it says, clean, high-quality water is one of the Highlands' most important natural resources. Undisturbed forests provide essential ecosystem functions of water, surface water filtration, and groundwater recharge. There's no definition of undisturbed. I would assume that it would mean a land use change, but I question whether the assumption in the report is that it means a timber harvest. The best way to make a vigorous, healthy forest is to do thinnings and harvest so that only strong, dominant trees are left to grow. Another issue was with the, also with that report, and it mentioned silviculture. Silviculture is the art and science of growing a forest. But it says here, wood production, basically timber, fiber, or fuel wood, is not only, nor should it be, the dominant objective of silviculture within the Highlands region. That sounds like a rebuke to me. It sounds like the forestry community and the forest industry as a whole are doing something wrong. I think that should be changed, and it should say that silviculture should produce the highest quality water and water quantity. The next one is the talk about fragmentation and the need for core forests or big forests. We have big forests. The state owns a lot of forest land between wildlife management areas and state forest lands, state park lands, the Newark watershed. There is, at this time, not much forestry happening on any of those properties. So one way to increase the quantity of water and the quality of the water would be to develop forest management on those lands. And the last issue I have is in the ecosystem management technical report, a mention is made of using the landscape project version 3 to come up with information about threatened and endangered species. And I can't seem to find that. It doesn't seem to be available to the public, so it's very hard to review and come up with opinions about its use. Thank you.
Sir,
have you submitted your comments in writing? Because you've got some very specific comments that you know. Thank you.
George Becker?
My name is George Becker. I live in Franklin Lakes. I'm a member of the New York New Jersey Trail Conference, chair of the nominating committee, and part of the steering committee for the Darlington Schoolhouse. I'd like to compliment the folks who run this meeting, having some experience with long days and nights away from family. You're listening to the voice of the people, and this is the political process at its very best, and it is appreciated. Grateful, too, for the Bergen Record, and especially the individual whose byline is Jan Barry. He, with impartiality, has kept us all informed for a very long time. I'm submitting the documentation for two discrepancies in the Highlands Region and Preservation Act boundary descriptions in the Post Brook, Doty Road area of Haskell. They were prepared by my son, Dave Becker, who lives on Lake Iosco, as I did for much of my life, and he's presently out of town. It is clearly the area, one of them is a mislabeled stream. It's clearly a characteristic of the Highlands where this occurs, but the references and maps going back, which I'm providing, to 1870 and 1893. Perhaps the most telling and obvious point about this particular mislabeled unnamed stream, unnamed feeder stream, that's discrepancy one, is it runs perpendicular to Post Brook. It is simply a small, inconstant, difficult to locate stream that runs into a much larger post brook. Finally, as a point, you hear the expression, it's not rocket science or brain surgery. Now, I don't know about rocket science, but...
Excuse me, George. I just want to kindly ask everyone to be quiet once speakers are addressing their comments, just out of respect. Thank you. You can continue, George.
Thank you. As I say, I don't know much about rocket science, but I know a bit about neurosurgery since that was my day job for 30-some years. And I think your job is a lot tougher than mine. We have to deal with only one patient. You're responsible for between 8 and 10 million. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan Kazanowski. Anita Yerosi.
I've lived in Ringwood for nearly 24 years. I live on top of a hill which looks over Skyline Lakes and further out towards Skyline Drive and the development in Kensington Woods, now known as Coventry. In the last 10 years, whole swaths of forested land have disappeared, and now where I once looked out upon ridges covered with maple, oak, and pine, there are huge homes with enormous lighted windows blinking back at me. What especially concerns me is the most recent development that went up just across the lake. The houses stick out like lit Monopoly pieces throughout all the seasons. That ridge was forested land with plenty of permeable surface under its canopy to catch rain water. A few years ago, the developer came in and clear-cut 38 acres overnight. Now it is filled with asphalt, cement, lawns treated with pesticides and fertilizers, and septic systems. Below it sits Skyline Lakes and the older development that surrounds the lake itself. Each year, these small pieces of property are improved, mostly vertically, taxing septic systems and increasing the amount of impermeable surfaces surrounding the lakes. Multiply this by three times over and you have the same scenario in Erskine and Cupsall Lakes, not to mention the development above Fieldstone Drive and the ridiculously crowded development in Wanacue near the water tower on Skyline Drive, where my son used to mountain bike in the woods as a kid. Now the Highlands Act wants to designate these lake areas as planned community zones, inviting yet further development in already overcrowded, overused space that impacts not only the lakes, but the wetlands and stream corridors that feed into them. I supported this act chiefly because I knew Ringwood was designated as being in a conservation area set aside for protection of the watershed of the Highlands. Please reconsider your designation. There is not a single township in this area that can be relied upon to prevent developers from putting enormous homes on land which they've held until they could make it most profitable to build. They sue municipalities at the taxpayers' expense and generally get their way. When you designate these already crowded lake areas as planned community zones, what is to prevent the developers from buying up the smaller homes and building multi-density housing down the road? Also, I would like to know if the funding necessary to preserve all of these ecologically sensitive areas from the builders and developers is really going to be available. It is one thing to create a regional master plan and another to enforce it with the financial teeth necessary to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Ryan Boston. Diane Swanson. I just have some things that I'd like to highlight about the preservation plan, and I will admit I have not taken a great deal of time to thoroughly review it.
I'd also like to note that I have no affiliation, nor am I paid by any environmental group or agency, nor am I paid by a government agency. What I'd like to have the Highlands Council address is why they excluded industrial properties and commercial properties. I'd also like to know, from a casual observance, why the planned zone, or the purple zone, is one that is already densely built up, and you most likely could not find a spot for another home or location. It's my observation also in Ringwood that many of these homes, when they sell around the lake areas, must have poor septic systems, because as soon as the home sells, the new buyer is putting in a new one. Everything has to go for Highlands approval. That means increased fees for whoever wants to do something with their property, including industrial property. You have to go for Highlands approval, even though you've already had approval. They drag it out, you get nothing done, and then eventually the permits and the authorizations that you've gotten from the town expire, and they're like, oh well. So I too would like to talk to the gentleman about what I can do with my property. I'd also like to know why something isn't being done. If 65% of our water goes to people downstate, or they rely on our water, why can't they be required to stop watering their grass and wasting the precious water? I have a well. I deliberately do not have grass because I don't want to mow it, I don't want to cut it, I don't want to water it. I don't need it. I have a forested acreage. I'd also like to know why the map didn't show the already watershed, state-owned, or protected property. And I would be more than happy to turn in my questions, comments, whatever you'd like to call them, but I'd also like to see a response on them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can turn in your comments and responses, and they will be on. Thank you for your comments. Barbara Kushner.
Barbara Kushner, I'm a board member of the Pequannock River Coalition. We're concerned with the fact that the regional master plan assumes that all existing development in the Highlands is appropriate. The regional master plan states that the planned community zone consists of areas with concentrated development signifying existing communities. These areas tend to have less environmental constraints. However, we must recognize that in many cases, the existing development in the Highlands was improperly planned and sited in areas of high environmental sensitivity. To accept existing development patterns as appropriate is to disregard a central tenet of the Highlands Act. That's to restore the resource integrity of the Highlands. While current development should be acknowledged, the emphasis should be on land use that heeds resource constraints, not on repeating past mistakes. Instead, the Council's regional master plan places a stamp of approval on past decisions that have sacrificed significant resource values and are at odds with the actual land capability.
Good evening. I would like to address the regional master plan, particularly the land use capability map. I have attended probably 90% of the Highlands Council and committee meetings and never flagged in my appreciation of council members' courtesy and openness to public comment. Nor have I failed to understand the lack of reality in the Highlands Act charged to the Council to provide an immediately viable resource and capacity-based regional master plan, given the enormity of the problems with respect to existing as well as faulty and non-existing data. It is therefore with profound regret that I have to express my dismay over the land use capability map and the rationales that underlie it. The land use capability map is presented in the format of overlay zones, which were sprung on the public with the actual publication of the map. If council members were aware of them, they were not discussed at any public meeting. That might not matter if they made sense, but those of us who know our turf know that they do not make sense. Specific comments at this hearing will tend to be focused on the planned community zone special planned areas designation, which pertains to our area of the eastern portion of the Highlands. I will not go into those specifics tonight in the interest of saving time and avoiding repetition, but I associate myself emphatically with those of my colleagues who deplore the absence of known environmental constraints on the map and the obvious reliance on repudiated sewer proposals as well as of densities of older developments which are irrationally depicted as potential growth areas. The key issue here is the application of different criteria to each of the three zones, page 50 in the master plan, which I think violates both letter and spirit of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act by failing to provide a true picture of the environmental resources that need to be protected. The Highlands Act, as we all know, divided the Highlands into a preservation area and a planning area. This division has all important legal, regulatory, and planning implications, which have been severely distorted by the overpowering visual and textural impact of the overlay zones. The preponderance of press coverage has bought into the notion that the draft plan has expanded the regulatory protections and development limitations of the preservation area to a very significant portion of the planning area. This is completely false and creating false hopes and expectations. No label of protection zone or conservation zone, for that matter, is expanding preservation area regulations beyond the preservation area. Ironically, the zone labels also cause confusion in the preservation area by creating potential growth areas and criteria that contradict the Highlands Act and erode support among that segment of the residents who backed the enactment of the Highlands Act. Everyone should be aware that the Highlands Act is not entirely or even principally a preservation act as many might wish. Not unlike the State Department Development, the State Development and Redevelopment Act, which conceptually lays claim to balancing growth and preservation, the Highlands Act categorically requires the planning and implementation of both elements. The fact is that much of the mapping of the preservation elements, waterways, floodplains, wetland slopes, etc., exist in both GIS and conventional format and can be made available in simplified conventional format or detailed GIS layers, it being understood that the general public has little or no access to GIS. The infrastructure data on sewer and water availability is notoriously bad and will require more time for collection, correction, and assessment before it can provide any basis of capacity analysis for identifying suitable growth areas. Again, it has to be emphasized that service areas in the preservation area have been revoked and capacity applies only to locales where pipes are actually in the ground. In the planning area, infrastructure capacity is less restrictive but relevant to the overall development capacity of a site and or its effect on adjacent preservation area. Again, my point is that the overlay zoning that we have been presented with is not helpful for the planning decisions that will have to be made or to a public understanding of the Highlands Act.
Thank you.
I thank you for your attention.
Susan, have you met with the staff? I would hope that you would. You have a lot of understanding about what you're talking about and the impact of the overlay zones. I would hope that you would call and report to the staff.
Gladly would do so.
Jenny? Is it Jimmy or Jerry? I apologize.
Jerry.
Jerry, I apologize.
Hi. I'm Jerry Flack. I live in North Hayalden. I am a volunteer on the Open Space Committee for Passaic County. And I'm one of those human beings that needs clean water and, for that matter, air to live. So I'd like to just take 1 minute to reflect on really the joy that many of us felt when this key legislation passed, and certainly how it continues to have the potential to put New Jersey on the leading edge of environmental awareness and action. And most important, I want us to stay focused on our primary goal, clean water, now and for the future. I also have concerns about the Purple Plan community zones, and as such, know that we need to assure a protection in these also sensitive areas. I hear a lot today about a more thorough assessment of the risks to our water supply or lack of water, sounds like. And certainly that the plan needs to assure disciplined processes for ongoing monitoring of our water supply and corresponding responsiveness. Our shared goal remains to strengthen water protection, which this legislation was intended and this plan needs to assure. I also want to point out one lesson we can learn from nature among many, and that is that nature rewards cooperation. And as such, we must work together to meet our economic, our environmental, and our human needs. And I thank you, and my children thank you, for your attention to our life support systems.
Thank you.
Jeff Tittle. Hi, Jeff Tittle, Director of New Jersey Sierra Club. I'm here not only representing our more than 750,000 members nationally and our 24,000 in the state, but also all our members here in Passaic County. As someone who's spent a lot of time in Passaic County and probably learned most of what I've learned on the environment in dealing with environmental issues here, the Highlands Act and having a Highlands Plan in a way is a dream come true. For a lot of us in this room, because I know there's a lot of familiar faces, we spent years fighting sewers and power plants and quarries and condos and getting an open space fund in the county. And so when the Highlands Act passed, it was a quantum shift. I mean, I was on a planning board where the town engineer said, why do we need to have detention basins and deal with water quality? We've got the biggest detention basin at the bottom of the hill. It's called a reservoir. That was a mentality, and that's one of the reasons why we needed the act. You know, coming up here, I was thinking a little bit, and I just thought about the saying, what happens in the Highlands doesn't stay in the Highlands. The rest of us drink it. And when you look at what's happened in the last 10 or 15 years in water quality, we have seen substantial declines in both quantity and quality. Last week, the state's 303D list came out, and that's a biannual list that we have to put out for the federal government. It's an assessment and characterization of our waterways. The biggest decline in water quality happened in the Highlands. If you look at where our list was a few years ago, 15% of the streams met all criteria for clean water. Now it's down to 10. The areas of New Jersey that showed the biggest decline, going from being either clean or pristine to showing impairments, were in the Highlands, especially in the planning area. When you look at the overall numbers, only 51% of the drinking water in New Jersey actually meets drinking water standards. Only 18% meet primary contact standards. What we see happening is, if you look at just non-attainment for aquatic, we've gone from 65% non-attainment to 75%. What we see is a state that's running out of water. What we see is a state that needs to make sure that the Highlands Plan is strong and complete and that it's protective of those resources. $100 billion a year worth of economy is based on the Highlands. But this plan does not get there. We want to support the plan, but we also know that the biggest gap when it comes to coming up with clear standards and a clear measurement of the Highlands is water. There's lots of pages there. There's a technical document with 300 pages, and I've been through it. You go through the whole thing, there are no conclusions. How much water is left in the Highlands? How much water is available for development in the Highlands? How much water is needed outside the Highlands? What's the future growth outside the Highlands? Those questions really aren't answered. But more importantly, how much development can the Highlands occur, if any? And I think it's up to the Highlands Council to make those decisions, and they're going to be tough decisions, because when you go through it and you read through the different data layers and you look at the entirety of the Highlands, if you look at HUC-14s, which are water units or land units based on water, if you look at where there's groundwater depletion, also surface water depletion because of outside use, and impairments, you'll find less than 3 HUC-14s that aren't impaired and have plenty of water. Everywhere else shows impairments. When you look at the development areas in the Highlands, the community development zones, those are the areas that have the least amount of water and the most impairment, but yet that's where the growth is supposed to go. It doesn't make sense. My firm belief is that there's still time to fix the plan, and that's why we're here, because we know that New Jersey's future and economy depends on it. When we look at those reports, those numbers don't lie. We need a strong plan, and we need to make those tough decisions, because otherwise we will not have enough drinking water for future generations. You know, the old saying is that glass half empty or half full. We don't know, because the proper assessment isn't done, but we know what's in that glass is getting dirtier and dirtier every year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Robin O'Hearn, Director of Skylands Clean, which serves as an environmental watchdog in Ringwood, West Milford, Bloomingdale, Wanacum, and Pompton Lakes. I testified earlier, but I'm back tonight because I've become even more adamant in my opposition to the specially planned areas, planned community zones located within the preservation area, especially around environmentally sensitive areas such as our local lake communities, Category 1 waterways, and flood zones. I'm against the planned community designation for a host of reasons, which include the following. Faulty mapping. Contrary to the Act's requirements, these areas were mapped without the Council providing either a build-out analysis of the preservation area or a capacity analysis of needed infrastructure. If this analysis was done, it has not been released to the public for review. The limited capacity analysis that was done, which is basically about water capacity, proves that the Upper Passaic Basin is in a deficit, which is shown on the RMP maps. There's not sufficient water to support existing development, let alone new development that specially planned areas will incur. The extensive environmental features in this area, prime aquifer recharge, top quality wetlands, watersheds, steep slopes, high highest level forest cover, top-notch riparian buffer areas, and significant habitat for T&E species are all evident in the RMP mapping in this area. These should preclude any specially planned areas in Upper Passaic. The SPAs are in conflict with the Act's provisions. Specially planned areas in the preservation are in conflict with the intended goals of the Act, which are to preserve, protect, and enhance water quality, especially since they are overlaid primarily around lake communities and on environmentally sensitive areas, including 7,000 acres of wetlands, plus all the other environmental constraints I mentioned earlier. The specially planned area is not required in the Act, but is a creation of the Council staff. Sewer service areas were used to create the specially planned areas, at least it appears that way. The specially planned areas are based on future sewer service area maps created in the 1970s and 80s, which were never built and do not include pipes in the ground. They also match a request by the West Milford MUA to include nearly 10 lake communities based on their unsupported claims of failing septic systems. I've brought copies of these maps and documents this evening, which I will give to the council staff supporting my assertions. Such future sewer service areas were specifically rescinded by the Act. The existing sewer service areas in Upper Passaic County that include specially planned areas do not have capacity to support additional growth, according to the Council's own wastewater utility technical reports. The specially planned areas do not meet criteria for redevelopment. Specially planned areas do not fit the definition of redevelopment in terms of impervious cover. In fact, the criteria for designating a specially planned area in the Regional Master Plan shows that only a minimum of 30% impervious could qualify a site for that designation. The specially planned areas are not necessary, as the Act already provides many development opportunities in the preservation area through infill development on single-family lots, expansion of existing commercial structures, brownfield remediation, and redevelopment of areas with 70% impervious cover. The specially planned areas are also not supported by the local communities. The communities slated for specially planned areas have not requested or endorsed these zones as redevelopment areas. While the towns would have the option to develop or not, that puts the ball back in the community's court as far as protecting these areas from aggressive developers who will use legal means to force in additional density. The conformance process is too late to begin making mapping corrections for a major issue such as this. If communities say they want the specially planned areas removed, that should be done pre-conformance during this comment period. If these zones are institutionalized, then the communities have to zone for them as part of conformance, which will make it easier for more development to occur. The mapping of the specially planned areas does not include the underlying constraints of flood zones, wetland slopes, C1 waterways, and critical habitat. These sensitive features are protected by the Act, but now will be the basis for challenges to local zoning, placing the burden on protecting these areas on local planning boards and watchdog groups, not on DEP and the Council, which are charged with protecting these areas through their rules. A lake management zone, which has been a suggested alternative, would be just another name for the same type of zoning overlay, and I would strongly oppose such an overlay zone in the RMP. What should be developed and implemented in the preservation area is not a planned community zone, which is clearly stated in the RMP and throughout minutes of the Highlands Council meetings, to be purely a mechanism for redevelopment. Such a zone just creates a zoning nightmare for the communities involved and does nothing to protect, restore, or enhance preservation community waterways. Instead, the Council should be looking to create a lake management policy, which can include ordinances to control fertilizers, reduce runoff, implement stormwater controls, implement septic management plans, revegetate lakefront areas where possible, and limit expansion of homes through floor area ratio ordinances. This would go a long way toward protecting the preservation area while dealing with the inevitable infill and redevelopment activity that will take place in the decades to come. This policy could apply to all lakes, not just those that are viewed as ripe for redevelopment. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll have Mayor Joanne Adams of Greenwood. We apologize. You were inadvertently placed towards the end. Mayor Adams?
Good evening, members of the Highlands Council. I'm Joanne Atlas, I'm Mayor of Ringwood. I want to thank you for giving all of us this opportunity in Passaic County to comment on the Highlands Draft Regional Master Plan. I was and still am a strong supporter of the Highlands Act, It liberated us from developer-directed planning, and it provides a great opportunity to move forward towards sustainability. Ringwood, as you know, is one of the five municipalities that are completely in the preservation area, a designation that is totally appropriate for a place that provides more than 2 million New Jersey residents with drinking water, is 70% undeveloped, and is basically rural. According to the Act, the preservation area is that portion of the Highlands that is subject to strict land use controls. Under limited circumstances, this zone may allow some forms of development, the Act says, but with stringent restrictions on consumptive and depletive water use, degradation of water quality, and impact to environmentally sensitive land, unquote. The draft RMP moves beyond the broad intentions and introduces three new zones, including the planned community zone, which you heard so much about this evening. This area serves to identify lands appropriate for economic growth, to prioritize public investment in infrastructure, and to provide TDR opportunities. I personally was shocked to learn that Ringwood's and other towns' lake communities were identified as being in this zone. Economic growth, infrastructure, reed sewers, increased densities. The typical lake community neighborhood is already exploding with people living literally cheek to jowl on undersized lots that were created many, many years ago when these communities were strictly summer communities. These lots are served by septic systems surrounding lakes. How, or the better question is, why increase densities here? Is it because high population growth projections need to be addressed? If that's the case, then those projections need to be adjusted downward. As to how, my Ouija board points to teardowns and sewers. Let me tell you a little about the history of sewers in Ringwood. In 1994, three-fourths of the citizens voted down a referendum to bring sewers to the town. We didn't want sewers then, and we don't want them now. What is needed, and Robin Ahern mentioned it just before, and I thought she presented a pretty good program, is septic management. The lake communities are special areas within the Highlands. Efforts should be made to preserve their historic and ecological value. And I look forward to the Highlands Council tackling the problem of septic management in this area, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Drysdale.
Good afternoon. Andy Drysdale, Chester Township, in the preservation area. I was write this up so you know I can be in the written comments. I finished doing that this afternoon, and when I stepped out of my office, I was confronted with a river of water running down the hill behind my house. This would not be nearly as bad had our four-lot subdivision, which was part of my grandfather's farm, been approved. We were going to put a lot of the water back into the ground. It would have been cut off and it would have been stopped. And I thought about this. You know, all of New Jersey was frozen, you know, for the last few days and because of the cold weather we had. And then we had the snow that melted. And the rain that came down, the whole part of northern New Jersey was an impervious surface. This wasn't particularly Highlands water. Water fell all on the whole state, but You know, this was water that came down from the sky and it was rushing down past my house and going right on down to the Raton River and out to the ocean. And a lot of this water could be put back in the ground with a proper kind of recharge system. Anyway, I'll get on with this. Regarding the Regional Master Plan and the Irresponsible Highlands Act that came before it, I have a few questions and some answers. What does open space mean to you? Is it virgin forest that existed here before the first settlers arrived, or is it open fields that were cleared by the early settlers? I believe that it is the open fields that have been maintained by farmers for several hundred years, and in many cases, the land was cleared by their ancestors. This leads me to another question. What is smart growth? I believe smart growth is what has been done by farmers and municipalities within the Highlands region have done in the past to make it what it is today. This leads me to another question. What is dumb growth? I believe that the stealing of development rights of the people who have preserved the land in a sensible, orderly, and realistic way and stuffing those rights into the areas that already have huge environmental problems is dumb growth. Last question. What has happened to the bills that were introduced into the legislature that would amend or overturn the Irresponsible Highlands Act? The answer is that they are being held in committees that are controlled by the same people that sponsored the act in the first place. These people need to be voted out of office in November or even earlier than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Wampler?
I passed.
Ross Kushner?
This isn't great. It's been a while since I did a science project, so but I did the best I could. My name is Ross Kushner. I'm here representing the Taquamish River Coalition. Our objections to the Council's policy of locating planned community growth zones on sensitive lands, including wetlands, floodplains, riparian buffers, wellhead protection areas, and steep slopes are a matter of record, and a few speakers have addressed that tonight. But tonight, for myself, I want to address some specifics. This photo I brought, the sad gully of rocks, shows typical summer flows in the Pequannock River. And this isn't a drought summer, this is every summer. Several years ago, the DEP, under Commissioner Campbell, drafted new requirements that would have restored water to this river from the Newark Reservoir System. At about the same time, the Highlands Act was signed into law. These events were promising. Unfortunately, in New Jersey, we have a nasty habit of starting out well and fading at the finish. Today, under Commissioner Jackson, the DEP has failed to enact those same measures drafted by Commissioner Campbell that are needed to restore this river, despite our constant attempts to spur action. While we can't fault the Highlands Council for that, we did insist repeatedly that the council at least stop the bleeding by curtailing further growth in the Pequannock River watershed. Instead, the council has now designated planned community zones, growth areas, all across the headwaters of this river. Not only are these growth areas sited on wetlands, steep slopes, and other sensitive lands, but to add insult to injury, several are located directly on the banks of the Pequannock River. These planned community zones in the upper Pequannock drainage have none of the infrastructure that would suggest further growth. No sewers, no public transit, and certainly no water. In fact, the entire region is listed in the Regional Master Plan as a water deficit area. When we questioned the council staff on this, we were told that their theory is, create the growth areas now and worry about where to get the water later on. With all due respect, that is not regional planning. It is regional gambling. If the council is interested in responsible planning, they should roll back these ill-sighted growth areas. If they prefer rolling dice, they should hold these hearings in Atlantic City. Either way, the state of New Jersey can't continue to have its cake and eat it too. If the DEP lacks the backbone to end Newark's rape of the Pequannock River, then growth in the watershed must be restricted. If additional growth is desired, then the Highlands Council must find a way to restore adequate flows to this river before mapping any new growth areas in the watershed. As a Category 1 river, the Pequannock is supposedly one of the most protected and highly regarded of all Highlands waterways. Look at this picture. If we follow the course now proposed in this plan, we have failed to preserve the very resources that lie at the heart of the Highlands Act. If we can't save this river, we have already lost. Thank you.
Anthony Spasasso. Any Anthony's? I'm sorry, I couldn't discern your last name. Okay. Margaret Hickey.
Hi, I'm Margaret Hickey. I'm a historic preservation specialist that practices in New Jersey. I'm here to speak in support of the historic and cultural resources within the region. Although the draft regional plan addresses the protection of historic and cultural resources in the greater Highlands area, many of these resources are clustered within the already dense areas of development and particularly in the planning area, and as a result are at greatest risk. It is important that any future development within both the preservation and planning areas encourage the continual identification, protection, and preservation of these resources. Given the voluntary nature of enforcing protection within the planning area, there should be mechanisms established that encourage preservation of these resources, including planning assistance, technical and financial support, the establishment of strong and effective historic preservation commissions, as well as other mechanisms for historic preservation. The Highlands Plan addresses encouraging appropriate patterns of compatible development. However, it will be important to encourage the development of design guidelines that reinforce and not deter from the historic character and the unique cultural characteristics of many of the region's villages and hamlets. This once again makes it vital to identify the resources at the onset and not wait for development pressure to determine whether a site or district is historic or culturally significant. This must go beyond relying upon lists already generated by the SHPO, which are woefully slim in identifying historic resources. Identification of these resources is a continual process with no finite end, and so is their protection and preservation. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Ellen Cronin.
I'm Ellen Cronin. I'd like to thank you for having a public meeting here in Wayne. I support the Highlands Regional Master Plan and would encourage you to make it stronger. I live in Somerville, not a Highlands community, but most of the water I drink comes from the Raritan River, which has headwaters in the Highlands. When I opened the tap in my house, I realized my personal connection to the Highlands. The state of New Jersey is responsible for the water resources of this state. The Highlands Act is a small step to meeting that responsibility. Most people in this state do not understand where their water comes from. They do not understand the politics of water supply. They do not understand the infrastructure of water supply. They don't know about critical areas or salt water intrusion. They don't know about water supply rules or nitrate dilution models. They have the expectation of clean and plentiful water without limit. As someone who has spent all of my life in New Jersey, where we have more than 40 inches of annual rainfall, and who grew up in Wayne, where the water issue is flooding, I can understand why the concept of water as a critical resource is not obvious. I encourage the Highlands Council to educate the residents of the state to better understand water supply I encourage the council to update their maps to reflect the inaccuracies noted during this public comment period, and I encourage the council to update their plan to enhance and restore water resources. Please do not put forward a plan which will allow further degradation of our water resources merely at a slower pace. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
Hi, I'd like to voice my support for the planned community zones in the lake areas. These are areas that are 95 or more percent built up, and they are in need of sewer systems. I think that's why the Planning Commission put it, made them purple zones, because the buildup growth is so low and the need for sewers is so high. And I know the public generally votes down sewers mainly because they don't want to pay for them. They don't want their taxes to go up. I think the state has to back the sewer programs in these towns to keep the taxes down. That's why people vote them down. My other point is I'm dismayed at how easily the state of New Jersey, these residents, are willing to give up the rights of other people and our rights to their cost of living and their property values are just allowed to be stolen away by this law. It's like we don't care. On my way home from the last meeting, I was thinking, gee, you know, we have this strong environmental group that wants this in, and they don't care what it costs. And you know, the homeowners, I think they would support it if they were being compensated, but you know, who's going to pay for it? And my thought was, well, you know, if I want to go buy a camera, I don't ask my neighbor to pay for it. So, I mean, the environmentalists want it. Why don't we make them pay for it? I see a lot of chuckles, but do we have any hands? Do we have any environmentalists willing to mortgage their homes to the hilt and put all that equity into the other landowners that are being hurt by this? No, I don't think so.
Before we close, I just wanted to ask, are there any other individuals from the audience who would like to speak this evening?
Here you go. Thanks, Nikki. I'll be sure. I guess one quick point, listening to, I've been at most of the hearings. I'm sorry, Devlin, Mackie. We have, this all seems to be directed towards the water, save the water, we need more water, we have a water shortage. There's no water shortage on the planet. There may be a freshwater shortage, but there's no water shortage. The ocean, New Jersey has the distinction of bordering the ocean. If you're worried about how little water there is in the Highlands, I would suggest that you ought to put some desalination plants in and take the salt water and turn it into fresh water and use that for the 6.2 million or whatever that number is of people that get their water from the Highlands. Quit taking the water out of the Highlands. If we're already in a depleted state, quit taking the water out of the Highlands. The Highlands Council should say, you know, let's cut the water allocation to that's leaving the Highlands. We're going to cut it 50%. And we'll say in 3 or 4 years, the water that leaves the Highlands will be 50% less than what it is today. Good luck. Go find water, put a desalination plant in, do whatever you guys got to do downstream. But do it on your own cost, because we are already in a depleted water condition. If that's the position that you want to take, then cut the water allocation that leaves the Highlands, put desalination plants in. The technology's there. And what it comes down to is dollars and cents. The guys on the other side don't want to pay the amount of money if it's really about the water, if it's really about the environment. Leave the water here.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Good evening, I'm Michael Natale. I'm a builder primarily in the Sussex County area. And the thing that brings me over here tonight, just like many of the other meetings I attended before, people brought many good plans. And I'm trying to be on both sides of this. I notice there's a lot of one-sided people out there that are for this law because they say it's too much development. For which I have to say, you know, I noted a woman earlier from like the Ringwood area, Skyline Drive, she said 38 acres getting knocked out, and now it's like, you know, door-to-door houses and lights. Hey, that's the town planning board. They made the mistake of over-permitting the development. But again, like where we operate, 5-acre zoning, that's plenty of space, at least I think so. Anyways, the reason why I keep opposing this is because, well, I got 112 acres, and that's an awful lot of land. And so far, everybody who I've noticed that is for this law, not one of you has mentioned about how you're going to pay back for it. Not one of these. Not the politicians. Because their lands have been excluded, they're golden. The people who want this, hey, this is supposed to be like America, not like communism over here. Okay? We purchased the land. I should really say my father was the head of our business, purchased the land. 1 week later, he passed away. Well, that was already 1 week hardship drawn upon us. As we were trying to regroup our business, restructure it, and then the Highlands came on, you know, months later. Yeah, they said the Highlands have been within the works, should I say, for years, but no one knew exactly where it was going to hit. We never would have purchased the land knowing that months later that we were going to be falling within the Highlands restrictions. Well, anyways, if you want my land, you have to pay for it. It's not for free. The same thing, like if you go off to a supermarket and you have this good intention in your mind by saying, we let it defeat the homeless. Walk in, load up your shopping cart, go to the cashier and say, I'm sorry, but we're not going to pay you today. Maybe someday we will because we're going outdoors to feed the hungry and the homeless. You can... Excuse me, this got disconnected. You can bet that you would get locked up for that instantly. I can't see anybody in this room who would raise their hand and say, yeah, I go to the supermarket, load up the car, walk out the door without paying for it just so they can feed the homeless. Anybody? Yeah, again, I didn't think so. Well, this whole Highlands Act has great intentions behind it because I am for open space land and water because I work and live here too. But the problem is, they're not paying off the vendors, which is somebody like myself. I am a landowner. My property was worth quite a bit previously. Now it's basically worthless in comparison. Because nobody.
Michael, if you could be so kind to wrap up your comments.
In a moment, please. I'm almost done.
Thank you.
Anyways, so all this time that has been going on, no one's come to our voluntary rescue trying to help us out. Not the government, not the people passing the law, not the people who are for the law. It's very one-sided. Anyways, what's really cute about all this is, next month when McGreevy has to go to court. Why? Because the developer by the name of Bogach finally found a way to pull him in. Because of this book called The Confessions. And where you refer to the Highlands, what happened with this horse trading, you know, like, you do me a favor, I do you a favor. Well, if this governor of ours from before was so good, Why is he being accused of doing terrible things? Think about it, you know? Again, as I said before about communism, you know, it's like, this is supposed to be America, where you have the American dream. You work hard, you buy something, you do something within the appropriate regulations. All right. I don't believe in any form of communism. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Robert, yes.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Guest. I'm from Wayne Hines Lake section. I am for this bill. I am for this bill, and I wish that there were more people who even knew something about this bill. As I woke up this morning, I asked how many people knew about this meeting tonight. Nobody reads newspapers anymore. They have to work two jobs to pay their taxes. That's a shame. Even students in school. These were students who just came out of high schools in my area. I live at the border of Oakland. I am interested in one specific piece of property there. It is between my lake, Pines Lake, which is along Burdan Avenue. Burdan goes into Breakneck, but it goes into Bergen County. Then it goes down Long Hill Road, if anybody knows where the Oakland ShopRite is, and then it goes down to 202. That whole big mountain there has the most wonderful, wonderful water supply. All the springs supply my lake, Pines Lake, since it was put together by Alexander Sumner way back in the 20s. At the top of that mountain, they even, in the town of Wayne, moved one big water tower from the top of Tower Road to the top of this mountain. And when I heard that the builders were going to take down that whole mountain and put everything up there, I sat in Oakland's planning board meetings, even though I'm a Wayne resident, and I listened to Mr. Marazzitti give all of the different points and information. The piece of property, as I say, is known as Pinnacle. This whole top of the mountain should be saved because it's a reservoir within a mountaintop. With all the terrorism that we have around us, here is something that if we put about 20 brand new wells up there, they would be all protected internally within the ground. And that's all vital, what we would call organic water. Nothing's been in it, it's native forest. It's fabulous. When I was a little girl, my father grew up property in New York State. New York State, as you know, owns all of its reservoirs. He bought a piece of property up in Monroe, New York, because he loved bass fishing, and it was called Lake Monbasia. Well, it was such a wonderful piece of property that the state of New York took it for their reservoir. And then he looked again and again, and he found my little place in heaven called Pines Lake, where I have lived since the 60s. Now, if New York State can own all of its reservoirs, New Jersey doesn't. Our main water supply comes from two, actually three, but primarily from the North Jersey Water Commission in Wanacue, associated with Wanacue Reservoir, and then the Passaic Valley Water Commission down on Main Avenue in Clifton, where I originally lived when it was all Garden State farmers and I rode a horse along Broad Street. But now it's Macadam, 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 Macadam. And that part of New Jersey, Clifton, Patterson, Passaic, it's all polluted because of all the different developers who just stole the land and built whatever. Planning boards let them under the table put whatever they wanted through.
Barbara, could you be so kind to wrap this up?
Okay, I would love to know that there has to be, number one, more education about, instead of spending all of our money in this state on football and Xanadu, that we started spending money where it counts for our water. You can have all the money in the world, but you need water. And water is where we should primarily put our money. And all the old towns like Patterson, Passaic, Newark, let these developers with the big pockets and all this wonderful investment money, we need the investment money, I think that's great, but let them rebuild the old towns and the old sewer lines where the old pipes are 120 years old and where they're near to trains. We're going backwards instead of being smart. This is called dumb growth.
Thank you, Barbara. Barbara Neto.
My name is Mark Bernardo. I'm from Newfoundland, New Jersey, part of West Milford. First, I'd like to say that I support the Act in full. Some of the things aren't put together the right way, like the guy from the Passaic River Coalition had mentioned. And I'd like to thank him personally for taking care of the river. I can catch a beautiful brook trout in. Oh, my God. And that's why we should keep it that way. It's like a picture. However, there are going to be parcels that are going to be built on. Okay. I happen to own one of them. I'm lucky enough. 4-acre parcel. I'm able to build a house on it so I could buy the farm that my wife and kids could ride their horses on. However, I'm getting old waiting for my exemption. Now, if you're going to set up exemptions to let people do things, which people are going to have to, they're going to be builders that are going to build houses. That's why you're setting up these little purple zones, right? But couldn't we make it a little bit easier? Not easier to get the exemption, but easier to go through the process? That way we know what's going on faster. Why should a guy that has 4 acres or a guy that has 100 not know what he's able to do and not able to do? Now, the answer to everything is money. Everybody says the same thing. It's all money, money, money. Great. Okay, well, there's not enough people to look over all this paperwork. I gotta tell you something. This is a great thing right here. This is beautiful. Really, it's nice. Beautiful pictures, nice paper. How much did this cost? For real, this must have cost a small fortune. Did we need it on quadruple grade paper? A beautiful picture that the photographer. I mean, I'm being a wise guy on purpose. It's just, I like to break things down to the ridiculous. If you're wasting money on this, it's a beautiful thing. Really, it is. You did a great job, but it didn't have to be put together like this and spend $10 instead of $1. And that $9 could be used for a multitude of different reasons. One of which could be one person to help this guy over here get through the process. Or this guy right here get through the process that's been waiting since he's been 36 and he's now 38 to get an exemption that he's allowed to have. Okay, so it's not as much personal about me, but it is about the guy with the 100 acres. Let the guy know what he can do. He's probably been in the process for like a year and a half waiting to find out. Don't spend $10 on a pamphlet when you can spend $1. To do the same thing and take the $9, save the river, and give the guy his money for his land so we could all live happily ever after. I'm sorry to break it down to the ridiculous. I appreciate what you guys are doing for everybody in the state. It's a beautiful thing. We got to do more of it everywhere. But you can't be killing anybody. This is America, like the guy said. You know, help us out. Let us know what we can and can't do. And don't blame it on money if you're going to do this. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Are there any additional speakers? Yep. And with the green shirt.
Hello, everybody. My name is Derek DeMarco. I'm here on behalf of the Libertarian Party. I am the representative of Passaic County, and I am 100% against this Highlands Act. It, as you all know, government is very inefficient. As the man before me was speaking, it's going to be a bureaucratic nightmare to get anything done. It's just going to be total chaos when it comes down to it. The state's not going to have enough money. It's going to be a huge burden. If you vote for this, your taxes are going to increase, no doubt about it. As we all know, the state is never a good protector of our land. Private people, with their own personal land, protect their land better than the state. and that's a fact. I'm just here to say that this is just going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a huge problem. It's going to stop. It's going to come down to halting development the way these environmentalists are. It's going to stop development. There's going to be no jobs, no construction. It's really going to be detrimental to the state. We know the state needs to grow. Housing prices are on the increase. There's not enough land to develop. So people are going up north and more west. And to stop this, it's just going to really have a huge effect on the supply and demand for housing, and it's just going to be a huge, huge disaster. About the water protection, I'm for water protection, I'm for clean water, I'm for water that is not polluted, but there are other ways to have clean water. People can lease their land rights, the water rights to the state, and you could separate property rights, but to just outright seize the land, this is going to be eminent domain abuse, and we all know what's about to happen. We know from the Kelo decision, the way states, you know, they've now been given the right to seize land by the Supreme Court. I don't know how anybody could be for this. It's gonna be a huge problem. They already have 1 million acres in the Pine Barrens. I'm not sure how many acres this is gonna be. This is just gonna be a nightmare. What do we want, the state to own 100% of the land and then tell us what we can do on our own land? This is just ridiculous. You know, I'm for capitalism, I'm for private property, and this is against all of that. This is un-American, it's against private property, it's against development. I don't know how this could even come about. I guess people think it's a great idea. There are other ways to get clean water than to just outright seize land. And all I need to say is this is going to be an abuse of eminent domain on a huge scale. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, sorry I'm late. My name is Joy Farber, and I'm a resident of Ringwood, which is entirely in the preservation area. I don't mean to repeat what other people said, but I just got here. I think that the Highlands Act was necessary. There's 70% of our waterways are substandard. If you swim in them or fish in them, you will get sick, and that's unacceptable. My comment is a question of what is the paradigm change that we're achieving here? The DEP has done a lot to protect resources. There's stream buffers and wetlands protections, albeit after the fact we realize that we need to protect, and we actually have to prove that we need to protect by destroying our resources. And then once that machine is going, we have to try and pull it back. So I can't always blame DEP. I disagree with the previous speaker because we've had home rule and we've destroyed our waters. We weren't able at the local level to get the protections that we needed. And we weren't able at the state level. So you've got a challenge before you. And it's not easy. What I'd like to understand from the plan that I don't is how has the paradigm changed? We know what the development pattern is. It's a sprawl of single-family homes like the throw of the dice throughout the entire state. And if we build it the way it's planned, it will be a disaster. We know that. I'm trying to figure out how this plan is different than the DEP scheme and the home rule scheme. And I'm not seeing enough of a difference. I'm not seeing a development pattern evolve from your plan that's different than what we have, substantially different. And I think that's what's called for. So take heart, take the knocks as you must, but realize that you've got an act that someone fought hard to pass. I'm one of those people. And we did it because people in West Milford at a hearing said, our wells are running dry. It's totally irresponsible to let someone make money off of property by causing someone else's home to be unlivable or have to, I mean, people have dug 800 feet to get water. The water table is sinking. There's a big problem. And you're tasked to deal with it. You have powers of no development zones. You have powers to dictate the amount of type of human development that the area can sustain. At the local level, that means tell people some parameters, what uses should be prohibited. We have had MTBE contaminate our drinking water. People were drinking it without knowing for who knows how long. That's unacceptable. I think that burying toxic chemicals right above our aquifer, where you know what's going to get in there, is irresponsible. I think you should say no to burying toxic chemicals right where your water needs to be protected. A 300-foot buffer is great, but we're having an applicant who wants to put a gas station 400 feet from the reservoir. It's a stone's throw. It's not far enough. And it's too late once you put it in the ground and it's leaking than to try and remediate. It's the genie out of the bottle. So, you know, use the power you have. You've got a lot of power, and use it, and good luck. Thanks.
Thank you, dear. The gentleman to the right, the top would like to come to speak. Yes, sir, could you be so kind to state your name?
Thank you. I gave you one of those cards. I
don't know what happened to it. Good evening. My name is Mike Sebatich. I'm representing myself and members of the Passaic County Open Space Committee, some of which are here today. I see one, two, three, four, five or so. I know a couple of them spoke too.
What did you represent?
Passaic County Open Space Committee. I'm also a professor at William Patterson University and an ecologist. I strongly support this Highlands Act, and actually I wish it could be made stronger and the sooner the better. You've probably heard enough from both sides, so I won't look at any details of you in a broad perspective. You have a legacy here to do what's best for the citizens of not only the United States, but the country. You have a document here that someone, I didn't like this analogy about communism and calling these communists, that's bad. I'd like to turn it around and use the analogy of the Magna Carta. In this case, the developers are king, and you have developed the Bill of Rights for the citizens of the state of New Jersey and the rest of the United States. And if you keep this Bill of Rights strong, you will leave a legacy that will last forever, for a long time. Once something is built and developed, it is over. You've heard probably of most of the major developers in the state, and you'll probably hear from them again. But what you won't hear from is the millions of citizens in the state of New Jersey who are represented by people like me. I'm speaking for them too. They don't have the time, energy, or maybe knowledge that these meetings are being held to be here. I'm speaking for them. We have over 8.5 million people. And the stronger you make this Highlands Act, the sooner you make it work, the better off for everybody in the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
My name is Kathleen Karen, and I am here speaking as a private citizen. I'm a resident of West Milford, and we're all tired. I want to get out of here too, but I just, a couple of things. First, you know, I've said before that the lands that we are living on now were inhabited before the white people and everyone else came. By the Native Americans, and a lot of those tribes used to make decisions based on the seventh generation. If what we do today, how will that affect the seventh generation, our children's 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 children? And you know, this task that you have before you and the staff, I want you to know that I support you, and that there are a lot of people that support this. This is very important. If you don't care about the way that water is filtered to, to provide clean drinking water, if we have to treat drinking water, you're talking about a whole lot more money than what we're talking about with this act and compensating landowners and, you know, doing the right thing and driving development where the people and the infrastructure and the jobs and the schools already are, which is in our cities, which need to be redeveloped. I'd also like to encourage everyone in this room to think about and to ask every single person that you know who's a resident of the state of New Jersey to encourage the governor and the legislature to reauthorize the Garden State Preservation Trust that's hopefully going to be on the ballot. And I wish that I had had an opportunity to segue immediately after the man who was talking about money, because I would like to remind everyone in this room, and I would really encourage you all and encourage everyone that you know, even your relatives who may not live in New Jersey, to write to President Bush and ask him to put money that he signed a bill, the Highlands Stewardship Act, which was to be $100 million over 10 years for the Highlands, and ask him for some of that money, because there's a lot of money being spent on very destructive things. And he didn't include it in the budget again, and I would really encourage everyone, if you really want equity, to write to the president and encourage him and tell everyone you know to do the same. So thank you for your time.
Thank you again. Are there any further speakers?
I just want everyone to know that the comments tonight have been recorded and they will be made available to all the members of the council on the CD. Here is the my copy for the first five meetings that were conducted. So everybody will have a chance to review your comments.
Okay. On behalf of the Highlands Council members and staff, we thank you for coming out this evening. Please be advised and understand that your comments and questions will be valued. Thank you very much.